Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season one, episode six of The Crown called Jellignite.
Yeah, like that's going to be a common term that we use.
You don't use that in everyday conversation?
I don't. I actually use the name Hermione a lot more.
Okay. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything, but sure.
It's not. I mean, I'm just thinking of weird pronunciations or words that you don't commonly use.
Cause Hermione.
Hermione, right. So
Hermione.
We are excited to be proceeding through The Crown season one, particularly, is so great. So we do have our usual disclaimers. Do you want to do the disclaimers or should I do the disclaimers?
You can do the disclaimers.
All right. So we will be cursing because shit happens. And we will also be spoiling some of the other seasons of The Crown because we've seen them. We're hoping not to spoil them too much because we are trying to keep things fairly self-contained. But sorry if we do, things happen. And also we are having things to drink. I am again having champagne. I had that last episode, but this episode has a ton of champagne. This is our season's Margaret episode, which I know you keep looking forward to the Margaret episodes, and this is a Margaret episode.
Honestly, I don't usually, but this one is kind of, it makes sense. Like, it's not only Margaret's thing, and it actually kind of coincides with stuff going on, and it actually makes a difference. So
it does.
Yeah,
it does. But I am having champagne in a coupe glass as opposed to the normal glasses that I use, just because they show coupe glasses, and that's a thing. What are you having?
Well, I am having another cup of Earl Grey Jasmine.
Earl Grey is always a good royal choice, so I approve. And we are going to try to start getting back to you. I just remembered that we had not been getting back to reading the synopses. But before we do that, I do want to acknowledge that we are going to be taking a week off for regular listeners. We are going to have a week off. There will not be episodes on December 4th. And December 9th, but we will be starting back with the rest of The Crown after that. We may or may not have other delays, and we will let you know when those come up. But wanted to make everyone aware that there's going to be a week of no episodes, and you're very sad.
So devastating.
So with respect to this episode, what is the actual synopsis, the Netflix synopsis for this?
The synopsis, which is always so reliable, is Margaret and Peter come to Elizabeth with a request. With a royal scandal about to break in the newspapers, the Queen Mother intervenes. Oh, no.
Oh, no!
That's basically all that happens, so.
Yeah, okay, so you don't need to watch the episode. You don't even need to listen to this episode. You don't need to listen to us, like, describe what happens here, because that's just whatever. But we're going to anyway, because that's what we do. This episode begins with Elizabeth, now the Queen, and Philip in a convertible going to, I guess, the Coronation Derby?
Yes, and Margaret's watching them on the TV, and she mentions, and she's with Peter in her home, I guess. And
they're like having a tryst. It's just like
whatever. Yeah. And Margaret mentions her trip to Rhodesia soon. And she's really excited because she thinks that her and Peter is going to be like a romantic getaway for her and Peter. And then you see, we go over to a journalist who mentions to their editor that he has a story that on Margaret, which involves her picking a piece of fluff from Peter's uniform
during the coronation, right? Like as everyone's leaving, she picks a piece of fluff off of him. And the way he describes, and I think there's a lot of truth in this. He's like, this action is as intimate as a kiss, and suggests that the kiss has already happened.
And I'm like, no, but
again, do guys, you know, just randomly pick pieces of fluff off of you?
I know girls who have done that for me, but
I'm talking about guys. Like,
no, but I don't find it's not as intimate as.
Would you do that with a guy that you just didn't have any relationship with?
I'd mention it to him, but I wouldn't like do it myself. Do it. Unless exactly. It was like my brother or my dad. Like I wouldn't just like.
Would you pick Fluff even off of your brother?
No, probably not. He would probably just be like, get off of me. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the fact that he doesn't flinch, he doesn't, you know, the response to it as well. I think, you know, all of that is telling.
Picking some fluff off of a jacket is not the same as a kiss though. Like, I feel like that's blowing it a little bit out of proportion, but I do understand the angle of it. Basically, the angle he's going for is will church and state clash again with like memories of the abdication and stuff and like will true love prevail or whatever. Anyway, then he will write out a draft and let the chief decide when he is done with it. And then Margaret calls Elizabeth. You get to see the whole process of getting the phone call to her, which is not very interesting, but okay. I remembered the John Mulaney bit where it's just like, I'm moving the voices around.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Just on the soundboard, everybody's just like, I'm doing this. And then Margaret mentions that she wants to have dinner with Elizabeth, Philip, and Peter. And I love how Elizabeth is constantly saying, oh. And it's like, what's the O for? And she's like, oh, it's just, oh, how lovely. And then she's just like, no, what is it? And this is like, oh, whatever. And then she says, oh.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about Claire Foy's performance as Elizabeth, and I think that there is so much about the actual queen that is projected upon her, right? Mm. And she has this very controlled response. And you can tell that it's learned. Like, this is not something that is natural really to anyone. And she doesn't even really take a tone with it. She does, there's a little bit of facial, a little bit of the head, but she doesn't do any of the big gestures that many of us would do.
She's on the phone.
Right. But even like, you know, Philip's watching her in this conversation, right? So, but it's very, you know, it's clear that there's some level of disapproval or concern.
She's suspicious.
She's suspicious. And she is so very, very careful. This performance is very, very careful. And I think that that is something that we see with the queen in her interactions with everyone, especially as portrayed in The Crown. She is very controlled and she is very thoughtful about what she says, how she says it, and how she's going to proceed.
She has to be. Anyway, Philip and his friend, who I still don't know the name of, but it comes
Mike,
up.
It's Mike.
Just Mike. And they go to a gentleman's club, which, well, a lunch club or whatever. And
you can tell Elizabeth's not happy about that. And she, again, she's very controlled about it. But
like, I mean, to be fair, like, what else is he supposed to do? Like, as long as he's not doing anything like untoward, like, it's just kind of like, do your thing. But
there are a couple of things, and we skipped over this, and I'm sorry to be like backtracking a little bit, but Margaret called, when she calls Elizabeth, there's this incredibly complex system going through the operators at Buckingham Palace.
I mentioned that.
But I mean, it's like there's like a special operator, and it's just so incredibly difficult for anybody to get to her.
I think it was mostly just a montage saying it was the old times. Isn't it so cool now? Anyway, then they are the guys at the lunch club are shown a slideshow of a guy's trip to Cairo, and they bring up Nasser being a threat to colonialism and uniting the Arab world and such. And one building that was knocked down, which was like kind of a hotel that was kind of related to like colonialism and stuff, was knocked down and had graffiti on it saying death to the imperialists. So that's not good.
I like how this is done. So I also noticed, I'm like noticing weird things, so again, you know, just forgive me, but when Mike the guy comes in to like pick up Philip, all this time you've been thinking like Matt Smith's really, really tall, right?
Oh.
And then you see like the actor who plays Mike, and he's possibly taller than Matt Smith, or at least close in height. Close in height. And so I looked it up, and Matt Smith is like right at 6 feet, which is apparently where Philip was, which again is surprising, but whatever. And so this whole interaction at the men's club, there is the man's man thing going on. Like there's a little bit of the, you can describe it as misogynistic, but just very, you know, like they objectify women. And it is Philip that asks, hey, what's that graffiti mean? Because he knows like this is a threat. This is a threat that he grew up with. And he talks about, apparently talked about it in the last episode, like when his family was evicted from Greece as a royal family, he had to leave in an orange crate.
Yeah.
And hide.
Mentioned in the last episode.
Right. And he is terrified of that happening at home.
Yeah. Then we go back to them getting ready for dinner, and O comes back, and because he mentions, oh, I was at the lunch club, and she's like, oh. And well, also Philip goes,
and her mouth doesn't even move.
Well, also Philip and Mike go back to the palace and they're drunk, and it's kind of funny. But anyway, a beautiful dress for Elizabeth. I think it's the green dress. And
that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, the green lace dress is beautiful.
Yeah. And Philip finds out that Peter will be at the dinner, and he says, well, why did we have to dress up? And she's like, oh, Margaret insisted. She wanted to make it a special occasion. And he's like, with him, isn't that a contradiction in terms?
He is so snobby about—
No, but it's so funny.
Well, again, I think this is, it's again, well written. You get the sense, and this is how people are, right? Like he's been ostracized and like not respected, and because his family is not as whatever as Elizabeth's family, and but he still has to lord that over somebody else, like, hey, I'm, you know, the prince consort or whatever, and this guy, he's not even a prince at this point, so he's still the Duke of Edinburgh, I think.
Yeah.
And he's like, just Peter, you know, he's just a guy, he's just a captain, he's not like all that.
I think it's mostly just like that we get very different like vibes from this. I get the vibe that he's just like, well, it's just people we know, we don't really have to dress up. If it was just with her, like Margaret, like that's one thing. I mean, it's not really that big of a deal. You probably have dinner all the time with Margaret, and Peter being there doesn't really change his perspective on why did we have to dress up for this. It's not like we're going to a formal dinner. So I think that was more the vibe I got, and not him being like, oh, it's Peter.
But he also,
I don't think he really liked it.
I think there's an it's Peter thing
that comes up later, but
it does. But I think I read it even early, and then I also, he says, has Peter been naughty? While they're going down the stairs to go out to the dinner. Because I don't think he had known.
He didn't. That comes up later. Anyway, Margaret is really nervous and excited and looks amazing. And
oh my gosh, Vanessa Kirby is drop dead gorgeous. I'm sorry. Like,
that's Claire Foy. Like, what the fuck?
Right, but they are in completely different ways. I think that Vanessa Kirby is like the quintessential what guys think of as gorgeous. What I, you know, like what
I think it's unanimous.
Yes, yes. I mean, anyway, she's that like romantic, oh my God, heroine.
Well, they get to the dinner itself, and Margaret gets the servants to leave, and Philip is about to start eating. And then Elizabeth gives him a look, and he's just like, sorry, I guess we have something to talk about. And so then Margaret tells them that since Peter's divorced, they want to get married at some point. They probably soon, but given like the fact that she's talking about it now, but either way. And it's very awkward. And Peter and Elizabeth are just kind of looking at each other really like, oh God.
Well, I think what's really great about this again is the performances, because you know, Claire Foy is completely impassive in this. She's not giving anything away. She says the right things. She says the right things. And in this conversation, she says, As your sister, I would never oppose it.
Well, Margaret, to be clear, Margaret asked for Elizabeth's permission as sovereign. And she was like, well, I'll have to take advice on that. But as your sister, I'm never going to oppose it. Margaret's really happy.
Yeah,
and
Margaret then takes that as, yay, this is going to happen, right?
Well, to be fair, I mean, like, she basically said, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to take advice as sovereign. But, like, I mean, as your sister, I mean, that's fine.
Right. But and I find this interesting, too, because Philip is the one who jumps in, like, does your wife know? And they're like, ex-wife. Do your kids know? I mean, just it's very apparent that they see these things as obstacles that are, you know, that divorce is commonplace now. And so you don't see it. But even in my upbringing, and I was born in the 60s. Late 60s. And so that informs, I mean, people weren't getting divorced right, left, and center when I was growing up. That was not a thing. People's parents weren't divorced.
They were just miserable. But
possibly some of them.
Not all of them.
Some people like get divorced and get remarried and are miserable anyway. So it's like, you know, the grass is always greener kind of thing for some people.
Anyway, in the car on the way back to the palace, Elizabeth never mentioned that she had any idea that they were together, because like Margaret mentions to her, it's like, well, you must have known. And she's like, well, yeah, I did, but this far. And Philip she never mentioned it to Philip, but Philip mentions that he doesn't like the match because it will create a scandal and he's too old.
No, he also says he's dull.
Yeah, no, I got dull. It he also calls Peter dull. I'm sure I've met more interesting plants.
I don't care if it's real or not. I really don't care if it's real or not. It is so well written as TV dialogue. It's like,
oh no, it gets even better. Because when he also doesn't like the position it puts Elizabeth in as sovereign and sister. And they're getting ready for bed. And like Elizabeth's like, well, one can see the attraction. And he's like, of Peter. And she's just like, the handsome war hero. And then he's like, the divorced war hero. And she's like, there's no such thing. And like, he was blameless in that divorce. And he's like, there's no such thing as a blameless party in a divorce.
Right. And she's like, well, he just, you know, like he was always working with dad. And he's like,
and sniffing around his sister.
Right, exactly. All of which is true.
Basically,
he's a very practical guy, and that's part of the reason I love him.
Basically, what Elizabeth says is that Peter's wife cheated on him, and he was just like, because he was always here sniffing around your sister. And she's like, no, he was working with father. And it's like, and sniffing around your sister. Yeah. And so, and then we go over to the journalist who's finished working on the article's draft, and he shows it to the chief. And and then the chief says, I said peppery. I said it. I wanted it to be like peppery and pop. This is gelignite.
Right. And for those who don't know, we had to look this up too. Gelignite is a type of explosive used to blast through rocks. Mm-hmm. So in case you're wondering, that is where this comes from. And I like that as a term, although I don't think it is the kind of term.
I'm not going to use that anyway. The chief has to, quote, go upstairs to confirm that they can run the story with the owner of the newspaper. The head of the newspaper goes to Tommy Lassels about it and gives him a heads up. And Tommy says, I'm on my knees with gratitude. And
this exchange, too, is he's like, and Tommy, his voice just drips with contempt. So the owner of the newspaper.
Blame him. I mean, it's like, so you're just telling me that you're going to run the story and not like
So you're just being dictated to by an employee.
You just sound like Snape, Mom. But
he has that a little bit. There's that Snape-like quality to him. And he's like, you're being dictated to by an employee. And he's like, well, but I can't just, you know, tell them what to do. It's like, I thought that's what owning a paper meant.
Yeah, you'd think. Anyway, Tommy goes to talk to the Queen Mother, and the Queen Mother and Margaret live together, and Margaret's having a party and there's can-can music in the background. And Tommy like looks through the door and Margaret tells someone to close the door.
Well, I mean, can't you see him in the, like a robe, like pulling up his sleeves, like, or pulling back his sleeves, like Snape, and like wrapping people's heads together?
Yeah, I can, it's Tommy. Totally. But basically, totally. Tommy goes to the Queen Mother and says the expose will include details about Peter and his divorce and different divorces or associated with members of the royal family. So this isn't just about Peter.
Abdication.
That, well, not just that, but like, yeah, divorcees that are associated with the royal family in any capacity. So it's not just Peter and Margaret. It's the entire royal family, and that can be awkward and bad.
Right.
And so the Queen Mother's like, well, can we deny it all? And he's like, I think it's too late for that. And so Margaret talks to Elizabeth on the phone, and Elizabeth suggests that her and Peter elope to Scotland because the Church of England can't conduct the ceremony when the
formal. But apparently, in the church in Scotland, and this is what she describes, it's not a sacrament. It's not as binding. Like, if shit goes wrong.
Just elope to Gretna Green, whatever. And so.
Wasn't that a Bridgerton thing? Wasn't Colin going to do that with Marina? Yeah, I think so.
Well, then it's definitely a Downton Abbey thing. But.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And then the Queen Mother is going to visit Elizabeth, and Margaret sees that, and she's like, I'm sorry that I'm not making your life very easy, but Elizabeth is determined to make Margaret happy.
And right, so, she says, I want to do this for you. And I think that there is an element of, there'd been a lot of sibling rivalry between them, and Margaret, and it will come up again and again and again, that Margaret,
well, you don't really see it too much until
she feels like she's been overseen. Yeah, I mean, she feels like she's not.
That's brought up in a later episode, whatever.
But she's not getting her due. She's and it is.
We'll get to it. There's stuff.
Anyway, so worse. The Queen Mother and Tommy basically go in to broach Elizabeth about this shit. Because the Queen Mother, she's like, look, I'm worried that this is going to bring up all the abdication shit. And Tommy is like, are you familiar with the Royal Marriages Act of
17? Well, I would also like to mention, before Tommy brings that up, the Queen Mother says, don't mistake your current popularity as long-term security, which is very wise. But yeah, Tommy mentions the Royal Marriages Act, which prevents royals from making undesirable marriages. So unless they are over the age of 25, they have to get permission from the sovereign to get married. And that's whatever. But they suggest
and,
that
Margaret- and just to note, Margaret's 23.
Yes.
So that means they're like, hey, just wait.
They're like, wait, and she's 23 and she'll have to wait, and they will have to separate them to contain the story. So they would have to send Peter away and whatever. And right.
Tommy's like, it's the only way to control the story. And of course, that turns out to be true. I mean, when you hear that coming out of Tommy Lasso's mouth, you're thinking, oh, that's just him overreacting and blah,
but no,
blah, blah.
Honestly, there's any time they spend together at all, like that's going to spark more of the story and it's going to gain more traction in different ways. And it's going to be more of a scandal if they stay together. But
so their plan is to keep them in separate countries.
The story gets published and in the newspaper, and Elizabeth has to tell Margaret to wait, and Margaret's really upset, and they will post Peter in another country. And she's like, is it a posting or is it
a banishment?
A banishment. And she's like, it's a posting, of course. And so then Elizabeth and Philip, she mentions that her and Philip had to wait for 3 months. And she's like, yeah, 3 months, not 2 years. And Margaret thinks that Elizabeth was taunting her with the Scotland plan. And she pulls away from Elizabeth whenever she's trying to comfort her. And Margaret says she'll agree with it as long as it happens after the trip to Rhodesia, which is actually in Zimbabwe. I looked it up. And so,
I'm sorry, you don't know this, but before the capital of Zimbabwe was Zimbabwe, it was Rhodesia was the capital of Zimbabwe, and it was a colony.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm sorry you had to look it up, because that was still true in my lifetime.
Well, no, I just didn't know that was the capital of Zimbabwe. So,
right. So, but she, her plan,
they just, they were always caught.
Banish Peter after we, because she's thinking that she and Peter are going to get to go to Rhodesia. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth's like, you know.
But Elizabeth says that they'll have time after she returns from Rhodesia to spend together before he leaves. And then there's dramatic horseback riding. And
I'm sorry. And this is like, and she rides the horse to meet with Peter so that they can be alone and discuss things.
Yeah.
And she has a scarf on her head. I mean, it just, there is a lot of drama with Margaret.
It's over dramatic, but Peter's going to go to Brussels because that was the best option. It's the closest option they gave them. He was given like Singapore or whatever, and it's just like, nah. And so he's going to be in Brussels. And Elizabeth invites Peter on her trip to Northern Ireland to appeal to the public. And no one wanted Philip as Elizabeth's husband, but she got the man she wanted after fighting for it. And Margaret said, I need to fight for you too.
But there is an enormous difference. And I think this is part of what Philip was talking about. Like, he's like, well, he's divorced. And it is interesting. It always sounds a little sanctimonious for Philip to be talking about, oh, well, Peter's divorced, whatever. You know, because he was the outcast kind of person.
But to be fair, he has Philip didn't have wasn't like isn't divorced, and he
correct isn't and that it much does older matter. Than Elizabeth. It matters that you were married and had children, and especially like
in and those cheated days. On your wife and
yeah
and yeah. did all that stuff with someone who's that much younger than you, like
yeah there's a lot a difference. Of fucked up in this in the Peter and Margaret relationship.
I just wrote down they kiss or whatever.
They kissed a bunch. She's like, kiss me since we can't kiss, and you know, like in front of other people, we won't be able to kiss again, more or less. It's like, oh, good job.
Oh well. Anyway, Tommy is worried that Peter is on the trip to Northern Ireland and basically says hearts mend, but if a scandal like this will break things that cannot be fixed. And right. So when they get out of the plane, Peter gets all this applause and attention from the press because they're like, ooh, power to Margaret and Peter. I love them so much. They deserve to be in love. And I'm like, y'all don't know the facts, do you?
No, but again, you know, they get, and even after like this deep planning in Belfast, because they're in Northern Ireland, obviously. And there's this newsreel review and Elizabeth's watching it. And she... they start talking about how, oh, you know, Captain Peter, whatever Townsend is, you know, like this amazing thing, and he and Princess Margaret and blah 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 blah,
the
and
queen is going to have to share the limelight, and it's like right. And Elizabeth's just like, turn it off.
yeah but she's making eye contact with Tommy Lasso's like, oh my god, you were right. She mm-hmm. didn't believe him. Of course, you know, we're kind of seeing this through her eyes a little bit. We didn't believe it necessarily either.
She's still is holding out.
One of the things I love is that Tommy Lasso's, when he's smiling back at her, it's like painful for him to even like contort his face into a smile. He's yeah. like,
but I think that she was holding out on hope that she could keep Margaret happy and let her do what she wants to do, but just given the public response and all that stuff, it's just hard to do. She was basically hoping to detract attention from the story. Tommy recommends that Peter is posted in Brussels as soon as they get back. And there's a beautiful gown for Elizabeth. The white gown is gorgeous.
Oh my god! And she's got this white, like white mink or Arctic fox or whatever fur.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous.
And Peter still gets a lot of attention from the press. And on the plane going back to England, Peter calls her Lilibet. And I'm like, that's a bit informal for you. When he's about to talk to her and thanking her for allowing him on the trip and stuff like that. And but as soon as he said Lilibet, I was like, oh no.
All right.
And Peter, again, not Peter, Philip looks at them and just kind of like, what?
Well, and the reactions are so great, and there's such a controlled range of reactions that anyone playing Elizabeth can give. And Claire Foy, I think, of all of the people who have played her on this show, does it better than anybody. She gets that hardened look, like nothing moves on her face.
And
like,
it's interesting because she
how the fuck dare you, but she doesn't say it ever.
I think it's I think she benefits from the fact that she's playing the youngest version of Elizabeth, or the younger version of Elizabeth, because you get to see her range of emotions that she's allowed to show when she's a princess but can't as queen and all that stuff. So you get to see the switch, whereas in older versions of her, like, it's kind of hard to, because they're just trying to they have to be hardened throughout.
That's part of it, certainly. I'm not sure that's all of it. I think some of it, I just think it's part of it.
I don't think it's all of it.
I give mad props to Claire Foy. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Sorry. And yeah. So, Yang has joined us because Yang.
And so Peter expresses his gratitude for her inviting him. And then Tommy asks Elizabeth about reposting him sooner, and she agrees to it.
Yeah. She's officially like, get him away from me right now before I lose my shit. Is kind of the tone in
which I think she still feels bad though.
She does. She and she's, but Tommy had offered earlier, I'll be the bad guy. Let me do it. And I will take the blame for this. And she didn't want to do it because she felt so responsible about all of it, because she felt like she had given permission and blah, blah, blah. And
which she kind of did, but
yeah, she kind of did. Whatever.
Anyway, then Tommy has this meeting with Peter when they get back about going to Brussels immediately, literally 3 hours. And Martin is on the board of secretaries that made the decision, which shout out Martin, even though I don't think you get a line. But anyway, Peter wants to stay until Margaret returns, but he's denied. Peter notices the joy that him and Margaret bring to the public and says it wouldn't be advantageous to send him away so soon.
It will backfire on you is what he says. But yeah. He gets so familiar in this conversation.
Calls her Margaret instead of her Royal Highness and reprimanded for it. And then
he calls Tommy, Tommy. And it's kind of like, oh, hell's not about it. You have crossed some lines here.
No.
And you got away with it before. You got away with it when the king died. But nobody is going to support you behaving in, you know, in this disrespectful way.
Anyway,
other than Margaret.
Then you go over to Margaret, who's giving a questionable by today's standards speech about colonialism.
She specifically says, she's like, this tiny white community is surrounded by primitive African.
Yeah, when she said that, I was like, ooh, was like, Margaret. Yikes.
Again, these speeches, I think, are probably grounded in the reality of what was actually said.
Yes, I'm sure.
Because those are documented.
Anyway, beautiful dress. Anyway, Margaret is forced to sing God Save the Queen, even though she's mad at the Queen right now. And
but the thing is, she's still believing it's going to happen.
I think she's still mad. She still has to wait.
She's mad, but she's still thinking, I'm going to have some time with him before he goes over to Belgium, blah, blah, blah. She raises a glass to the Queen, blah, blah, blah. I think it is interesting that the way they portray this too is when they're singing God Save the Queen, none of the African servants are singing.
I don't blame them. Anyway, Margaret gets a telegram that tells her about the plan that she wasn't privy to, and she gets upset, and there's a long process of getting the phone call through to Elizabeth because they don't know where she is. She's in the stables at Sandringham House and with her horse, and Margaret feels betrayed and accuses her of being jealous and afraid of being outshined by her. And then she ends the conversation with, you reap what you sow, sister. And everyone's on the line is listening to this conversation, even though it's a secure line. And they made sure it's a secure line too. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's not very secure. But everyone listens and it's like, you reap what you sow, sister. And then she like hangs up and everyone's like, oh my God.
Right, but she basically makes it out that Elizabeth is jealous of her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you think we're going to overshadow you? You know, that kind of thing. It's kind of like,
that's not it.
It's not it, but there is a world in which you could twist it to that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to argue it because, you know, whether or not that is a reality in any way, it's like, you really need to know your place, because your place is not whether in any universe overshadowing the Queen.
Yeah. And then there's a new story about that shaming the royal family for denying Margaret happiness. Everyone's reading the story, including like the Duke of Windsor and Wallace, Elizabeth and Churchill.
Oh, and laughing wife. About it. They are laughing about it because it's like, oh, hey, yeah, okay, great. Ugh.
Hey, it's happening again. Anyway. Yeah. Mike and his friends. Mike is his friend's name, and Philip is going with him to a house party for Greg week. What? I think there was a typo on my notes for the
weekend. Not
for Greg weekend, but for the weekend.
Right. So the guys' club is going to some place for the weekend, and Philip and Mike are going. And the final shot is basically Elizabeth alone. Going down the hallway of Buckingham Palace, and it's a long hallway. and she's alone. And she, you know, she, there is such a great use of that symbolism of the queen stands alone kind of thing. And, you know, she's the one who's got to hold the line all the time by herself. So I thought that was, again, great use of all the things here. What was your best part of this episode?
Elizabeth and Philip talking about the situation is really funny to me. And kind of Tommy, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say my best part is, you know, just again the characterization that Matt Smith brings to Philip, I think, is really excellently done, and his interchange with Elizabeth on this subject is really great. And just even the exchanges, like they have some, like, they're, you know, some eye contact and that kind of thing when they're deplaning, you know, like after they deplane, it's like, you know, like, what the hell is this bullshit with Peter? Because, you know, I think Elizabeth had been like, I really believing that she could diffuse it in her way. And the reality that Tommy is right, that's got to be a little galling. I mean, you got to think about that. It's like, yeah. So I agree. I think that is really well done. What was your worst part?
It's Margaret and Peter for the most part. Like, I can understand how she like feels about this situation because she doesn't really think about it like any other way except for her way. And so, but yeah, Margaret and Peter, I think, are my worst part because I don't like it. I don't like it at all. What about you?
I would probably put this in a best worst category. Vanessa Kirby's performance in this is so well done. I mean,
absolutely. She cries, I still don't like it.
Angry. She does all of the things that, and she does it in a way that is sympathetic. You know, she pulls you into.
No, absolutely. That's why I'm like, for the most part, because I can understand how it feels. Well, I don't understand how it feels from Margaret's perspective, but like I can sympathize with her, even though I don't like them as a couple. I can understand how she feels given right. The circumstances and like being denied this one thing by her family who she thought were on her side. And so, yeah, I can understand that, but I still don't like her and Peter together. It's inappropriate in a couple different ways.
Right. My worst part's Peter. I mean, yeah. And I separate him from Margaret in that I feel like she is something of an
innocent. So does the queen.
Right. I mean, I feel like she's something of an innocent in this. Yes, of course she is responsible for her actions. She is way too old to not be responsible for her actions. And even like that partying scene where like Tommy Lasses is walking down the hall and she's can-canning. It's not like Peter's part of that party. There's a bunch of guys that she is like, I mean, she is not an innocent in this.
No.
But as far as her belief that she's untouchable, I guess. She's had no reason to ever.
And not taking into account, it's very Eloise from Bridgerton, not taking into account the consequences of her actions on the rest of her family when there's so much influence on that.
So yeah, you're kind of convincing me that she should definitely be part of my contempt for the two of them. Peter, I think, fully fucking knows.
Oh, absolutely. Peter is not an innocent in this at all.
He is taking advantage, and I'm kind of with Philip on this. It's like he knows better, and not that he's like a dull person. I have no idea. I mean, you don't get to.
We haven't seen enough, so and also as a person, we don't know.
Right, but and clearly, like, you know, he flew planes and he had kills and blah blah blah. You know, he's done some very remarkable things.
Kills are not like that. We shouldn't really celebrate that. But I mean, it's war, but still, I don't know. You said it was like remarkable or whatever.
In this context, I'm going to disagree with you. But and by that, I mean,
yeah, I'm sure he has interesting stories. So it's not like
he is a war hero. I mean,
I will give him that. But whatever.
Right. And you know, obviously that is an experience that is unique to people who've been in that position, and you know, it is a very different situation than a lot of people have been in. And
we don't have to go through that down that rabbit hole anyway.
No, and I'm sorry. And I know that it offends you on some level.
I'm not saying it offends me. I'm just like, I don't have any experience with that. And I
hope and don't want to because whatever, but I
don't want to be put in that position anyway.
Right. I
get where you're coming from anyway.
Right. I he definitely knows what he is doing and what he has created, and he is not innocent in this at all. No, and so that to me makes it worse, because and he's abandoned his family, and I don't have any respect for
that. About his sons? What are you gonna do about them?
Yeah, exactly, motherfucker. So I'm kind of with Philip on that one. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand with it. What grade would you give this episode?
I gave it an A-, because it's interesting, and it's like it incorporates the politics of it, I think, very naturally into it. And I don't know. I find it interesting, and I like diving into certain characters and seeing them interact in separate ways. Like you finally get to see more of the Elizabeth and Margaret dynamic and all that stuff, and how certain people react to all that stuff. So I don't know.
I think you really like the interpersonal, particularly on a familial level, aspect of the characterizations. Of course, you know, I have
it's seen the most human element of it. So
right, and so the interpersonal in a work context I also find interesting, but for me I gave it a B+, in part because, you know, like it or don't like it, I kind of am like over it already. The Margaret riding the horse thing is like, oh, come on.
It's such a meme, though. It's only twice.
I think there's more of it. I think there is.
There is more of it, but that's not the point. It's only happened twice.
It is part of the point to me. Like, it's almost like it is, and I'm not saying it isn't part of her character. I'm sure it is. And I'm sure that it is, honestly, if we were really to talk about it, part of the Queen's character as well.
Well, yeah, she likes horses. We know this.
But it's not something that's touched on at all. I mean, that she likes horses.
It is.
But her, like, riding to get her emotions.
Well, she doesn't ride into the distance, but, like, she does like horses.
Fucking stupid drama. And, you know, it's totally possible that Queen Elizabeth did the exact same thing when she was frustrated by whatever. We're not going to see that because they don't want to portray her that way. They want to portray her in a very controlled and deliberate way.
But Margaret, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Right, but there's no reason to believe that that's necessarily true.
No, I mean, we have to take all of this with a grain of big-ass salt, because
behind closed doors, Elizabeth might have been saying, you fucking bitch.
That'd be really funny.
That would be hilarious. I'd love to know that.
Philip just, like, tag-teaming against the world, just being like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, not to each other, but you know what I mean? Like, just behind closed doors there. I don't know. I like to think of them as, like, a team, and just kind of, like, talking shit about other people behind their backs.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of that in The Crown, but like that's part of the conversation that has to happen behind closed doors at this point.
Well, and again, you know, we see some titillating stuff in season 5 and I don't like it, and so I think that maybe I don't really.
It's an interesting term.
it is and we may talk about it more in that.
Well, could you describe what do you mean titillating in because like
we're looking behind closed doors, I see what knowing what the conversations are and blah blah blah, you know. I feel like there is an element of that maybe the mystery makes it a little more interesting.
Well, I think
that ability to project, you know?
I think in that case, it's more like you have one account of the story, but the other one's keeping it hush-hush, so they extrapolate more in favor of one than the other.
Yes.
And so there are only so many things they can do for that, and even like just even creating the conversations themselves is taking a stance on what they think, like who was in the wrong or whatever. So it's kind of hard to do that era in general, because it's again taking a stance on what is going on with that. But
right, Right. I agree. But I think that it's something that in later seasons, particularly, I think we are going to end up addressing. But in any case, I did enjoy this episode. I don't want it to be suggested that I don't think the performances are great or anything else. Yeah, but I do suspect that a fair portion of this was complete fiction. So yeah. In any case, we are going to be going forward. We're getting get into episodes 7 and 8, though it will be somewhat delayed. And we hope that you join us. And of course,
cheers.